reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you.
Jesus and his disciples came to the other side of the sea, to the territory of the Gerasenes. When he got out of the boat, at once a man from the tombs who had an unclean spirit met him. The man had been dwelling among the tombs, and no one could restrain him any longer, even with a chain. In fact, he'd been frequently bound with shackles and chains, but the chains had been pulled apart by him and the shackles smashed, and no one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the hillsides, he was always crying out and beating himself with stones. Catching sight of Jesus at a distance, he ran up and prostrated himself before him, crying out in a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." Jesus had been saying to him, "Unclean spirit, come out of the man." Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "Legion is my name. There are many of us." And he earnestly pleaded with him not to drive them away from that territory. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there on the hillside, and they pleaded with him, "Send us into the swine, let us enter them." And he let them, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the swine. The herd of about 2,000 rushed down a steep bank into the sea where they were drowned. The swineherds ran away and reported the incident in the town and throughout the countryside. And people came out to see what had happened. As they approached Jesus, they caught sight of the man who had been possessed by Legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. And they were seized with fear. Those who witnessed the incident explained to them what had happened to the possessed man and to the swine. Then they began to beg him to leave the district. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed pleaded to remain with him. But Jesus would not permit him, but told him instead, "Go home to your family and announce to them all that the Lord in his mercy has done for you." Then the man went off and began to proclaim in the Decapolis what Jesus had done for him, and all were amazed. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In this stupendous miracle of the exorcism of the multiply possessed man, we see a mirror in terms of what's most valuable. This man used to scream all night, beat himself with stones. No amount of shackles were able to hold him down because the strength that he had received would just break those shackles. And yet that isn't what made the people of Gerasene afraid. It says they were seized with fear when they saw him naked, calm, and healed. How much is a man's soul worth? Is it worth 3,000 pigs? When Jesus worked that miracle and cast the demons into the swine, and the swine were lost through drowning in the Sea of Galilee, the people came. You would have thought that they would respond the way others did in other places where Jesus was. Soon as he worked one miracle, the door of the house where he was full, because everybody was bringing everyone who needed anything. But not here. Jesus worked that incredible miracle that everyone would have conspicuously noted. A man who had been possessed as you could be was now normal. And they said, "Get out of our town. You're bad for business. We don't want you here." It's interesting. They were in the Decapolis. The Jews don't eat from pigs. But the pagans in the Decapolis clearly did. They thought nothing of slaughtering pigs in order to feed themselves. But if pigs were lost in order to save someone from the possession by the devil, that was too much to handle. They really didn't love this man. They loved their own profit, their own comfort, their own bellies, more than they did that man. There's a lot that we can learn. How much is one person worth? Is it worth our loss economically for someone to survive? Are we capable of sacrificing what is ours in order to save someone, in order to bring one to health? Or do we think that's something that God wouldn't be asking of us? And then if we lose economically, we got to drive them out because, hey, economics are more important than anything else. We see a similar pattern in this first reading about the dehumanization that comes from the selfish pursuit to place ourselves in the center. David's son Absalom is turning against his own father out of ambition for the throne. David doesn't want to fight his son head on because he knows how he wouldn't be able to kill his own son as a father. He also knows the personality of his son, and his son would destroy Jerusalem in trying to defeat his father. And so he takes off. There's a lot of sorrow. David's already doing penance by walking barefoot up the Mount of Olives, where his descendant Jesus himself would weep 1,000 years later. And then you have this man Shimei who comes, and he starts throwing stones and throwing curses at David. The curses he's yelling at David are false. False. He didn't kill Saul. He had multiple occasions when he could have killed Saul. He refused to lay his hand on the Lord's anointed. Away, away, you murderous and wicked man. The Lord's requited you for all the bloodshed in the family of Saul. That bloodshed was not caused by David. People in David's retinue, Abishai, says, "Why should this dead dog curse my lord and king? Let me go over and decapitate the loser." Would have been very easy for David to say, "We don't need to deal with the stoning that we're receiving. We don't need to deal with the barrage of calumnies." But David responded by saying, essentially, "I'm not guilty of the blood of Saul, but I'm guilty of the blood of Uriah. I'm guilty of the blood of others. Maybe the Lord sent him in order to make me do penance. And maybe the Lord will see me in my affliction and take it as reparation and heal my own home and heal the house of Israel." David, unlike a soldier, saw that Shimei was more important than just shutting him up. That even if he was molesting him and his soldiers that day, that the infinite worth of a human being was such that he wasn't just going to be slaughtered because he was inconvenient. Again, there's so much that we need to learn here. A week ago, our nation did a day of prayer and fasting for the loss of 55 million children who are considered in one way or the other inconvenient. Maybe because they were unwanted. Maybe because there was fear. Maybe because they were of the wrong sex. Maybe because an ultrasound said that they had a chance that they could be born handicapped. But we need always to respond to the real dignity in another, even when it causes us to put ourselves in second place. It's one last thing I want to mention from today's readings. It's at the very end of the passage. This cured man turns to Jesus and asks to follow Jesus. Jesus had been crisscrossing all over the region of the Sea of Galilee, turning to people, especially the most unlikely of candidates, and saying, "Come, follow me." And yet this man, before Jesus even asked, said, "I want to follow you." He begged him to allow him to follow. But Jesus said no and gave him a different mission. "Go home to your family and announce to them all that the Lord in his mercy has done for you." It was going to be a similarly important mission. Why did the Lord say that? First reason is because the Lord wasn't calling pagans to announce to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They wouldn't have listened. He was to have the first mission to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. And the gospel would begin not by talking about salvation history, as it would with the Jews, but his own healing. That he would talk about what the Lord in his mercy had done for him as the opening for what the Lord in his mercy might do for his family members and for others whom he had met. We've got so much to learn from this. Those who are not called, for example, to the missionary life, those who are not called to the priesthood, but called to live the life of a good Christian at home, that the Lord wants us to go and announce all that the Lord in his mercy has done. We've got so much to be thankful for, so much to be grateful for. How many times the Lord, through the sacrament of confession, has expelled from us what was killing us. How much the Lord in the Eucharist has nourished us. How much the Lord in his word has taught us. How much the Lord in prayer has responded to our requests. But we can't keep that within in a cave. We're called to bring that to others. Precisely so that others may not exalt their own convenience, their own stomach, their own economic success over what the Lord wants to do for every human being for which he has died. This man, we know, went off and began to proclaim in the 10 cities what Jesus had done, and all were amazed. Imagine what our family and friends will do if we cooperate with the Holy Spirit and tell them our story.